Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump. I am here with the 2008 NBA champions, Paul Pierce and Kendrick Perkins. This is a special anniversary for them. In fact, coming up on the 12-year anniversary of winning a title, Paul and Perk will tell us the memories of that experience and will tell us what it will take for everyone to get on the same page with Ray Allen again. Stay tuned for that. First, though, the NBA and Players Association have finally begun detailing what life will be like in the Disney World Orlando campus when the season restarts. And the information, guys, ranges from high stakes to hilarious. There are pages and pages of safety protocols that include testing, quarantines, rules for daily life. Here's just a little sampling. Players who test positive for COVID-19 will be moved into, quote, isolation housing. Then there's this. Everyone on the campus except players will be required to wear proximity alarms that beep when they're within 6 feet of someone else for more than 5 seconds. Players are not allowed to enter each other's hotel rooms. Their hotel rooms will only be cleaned once a week. No one will be required to wear a mask when performing physical activity. At games, neither referees nor coaches in the first row of the bench have to wear masks, but those in the back row do. Players from opposing teams are allowed to come to the arena to watch each other's games. Hotel amenities are going to include players-only lounges with TVs and video games, pools, trails, barbecue, barbers, manicurists, and pedicurists. Both. Both. Apparently people can't multitask. Players will be encouraged to do as many social activities as possible outdoors, but when they are indoors and within 6 feet of each other to do something like play a game of cards, guys, they will be required to wear masks and also, quote, dispose of the deck after each session. But don't worry, the rule book also states sufficient packs of cards will be available. And here's one not in the rule book, but being reported by both ESPN and The Athletic. The NBA will set up an anonymous tip line to report violations of health and safety protocols inside the bubble. As you can imagine, that was not entirely well received. Jared Dudley, come on, bruh. Donovan Mitchell, oh, they snitching. Paul, that's a lot. But what is your initial reaction to hearing some of the protocols that the league is planning for?
I still have a lot of questions. I mean, you know, they say they don't want you to be within 6 feet of one another. And then my question is, you know, how many players will be allowed in the players' lounge, meaning that you're going to have a great number of players at each hotel. They won't be able to visit one another. Yep. And so, you know, like, for instance, the card game, you have to wear a mask. Ping pong, you can't play doubles. You know, even in golf, you know, my question is, do y'all get to ride in the same cart? And so, you know, there's still little contradictions to a lot of the protocol. And so my question is, like, you know, with these lounges, you know, what's the max capacity? You know, as you're going to have multiple teams staying at each hotel. And so, you know, if you want players to be completely safe, I'm not sure, you know, they should have those things, some of those things.
Well, thank you, Jesus. God has answered my prayers. We got basketball back. But I also want to applaud the broadcasters. I want to applaud the NBA. I want to applaud the Players Association and Disney for putting together the most safest plan available right now due to these circumstances. I think everyone has done a great job of coming together collectively and conversating and getting this rolling. Because, like, you know, it's a pandemic. It's a unique circumstance. So, yes, things are going to be different. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a $1 billion business. At the end of the day, we know that the great Adam Silver in the NBA has done their best job of crossing their T's and dotting their I's. So, like I always tell you, Rachel, I have zero concerns when it comes down to Adam Silver. He has not let me down yet.
Paul, are you concerned about this anonymous tip line? Teams trying to take advantage?
I think teams will take advantage, especially in this day and age. You know, you're going to have somebody from the player personnel call in anonymously. And, you know, if there's a chance they can get somebody in, in the protocol to be in violation to where they're put in quarantine for 48 hours during a major playoff game. That can be huge. That can be huge going into the season, going into the playoffs, or whatnot. So I think that tip line is going to be used a lot.
Very curious how that pans out, how it's adjudicated. Now, players also found out last night which teams are going to be staying at which hotel. The top four seeds in each conference are at Coronado Springs. The next four in each conference are at the Grand Floridian, while teams currently on the outside of the playoff picture are at the Yacht Club. This is apparently not good news, guys, to the NBA's resident Disney World aficionados, the Lopez twins. Robin Lopez tweeting, "I will trade hotel rooms with any Trailblazers." And then he added Dame, CJ, and Melo. Now, once teams start being eliminated and go home, more space will open up on these hotels. Starting in the second round of the playoffs, players will be given additional hotel rooms, 15 or 17 for guests or family members for each of the eight teams. So they got to split those up. But that's not until August 30th, which means for their first 7 weeks, guys, that they're in Orlando, players will not be able to see their families, friends, or let's say significant others. Perk, how do you think players are going to handle that?
Listen, Rachel, players have had 3 months to play Monopoly, to have family barbecues, to play Unos with their family. Like, come on now, it's time to get back to work. 3.5 months max of going back to do your job, getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball. And then guess what? The red carpet is laid out. Like you said before, guys are going to be able to get petties and manis, and they got the barbershops, and they got everything that they can. 24-hour services, VIP services. What else do you need? You there to play basketball. It's only 3.5 months. You didn't have more than enough time to cuddle with your wife or your girl. Now it's time to get back to the business.
I agree with you, Perk. I think players can't wait to somewhat get away from their families. But I think after a couple of weeks of being away, they'll be fine. And if it was me, you know, if I was going to be away from my family for at least 7 weeks, I'm like, what's another, 4 or 5 weeks? You know, I wouldn't even want to put them through the protocol and going through quarantine the first 48 hours. It just seems like a difficult situation. You know, we have FaceTime, we have Zoom, we have so many ways we can communicate and see each other. Like you said, we going back to work, and, you know, teams are out here trying to win a championship, and this is a time where they need to ultimately focus. And a lot of times we isolate ourselves from our families, even when they are at home. You know, you sleep in different beds during playoffs. You know, you go in different rooms throughout the day. And so, you know, I don't think it'll be a big problem.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Well, as you can see, it's going to be a whole world there. We will find out more and more about it as we go. And, of course, there are still concerns about restarting. Coming up, Avery Bradley says that the Players Coalition that he and Kyrie Irving are leading wants the NBA to outline how it plans to handle issues important to the Black community prior to departing for the Orlando campus. We'll examine their request next. First, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date in NBA history, and they're from the NBA Finals, so yeah, these are good.
Ogeron lost it. Sparks protecting it, getting it to Oakley. Feeding you. And the Rockets take a timeout with 6:49 remaining.
Here's to Garnett. Garnett inside. Banks it in. And a foul. What a play from Kevin Garnett. And the Celtics go up by 20.
My goodness. Ball movement, pick and roll. And mama, there goes that man. Hanging in the air. One hand off the glass. Phenomenal play by KG. Taking the contact. I'll wait till you get down, Lamar. And then I'll kiss it off the glass.
Throws it in. Tried to force it. Here comes Harden. Trying to draw a foul, lobs it to Durant, and the finish! High above the rim, Kevin Durant makes it a one-point game. And a timeout called by Eric Spoelstra. Thunder bounce back once again, and Durant has 23.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The 28th annual ESPYs are happening virtually, of course, hosted by WNBA star Sue Bird, U.S. Women's National Team co-captain Megan Rapinoe, and Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. This year's awards focus on service, perseverance, and courage in the world of athletics. That's Sunday, June 21st on ESPN. All right, guys, the Players Coalition, being led by Lakers guard Avery Bradley and the Nets Kyrie Irving, is saying it wants to hear what the league, sponsors, and team owners have planned to address issues impacting the black community. Bradley strongly called for team owners specifically to do more, saying, quote, "Don't put all the weight on your players to take care of the issues. If you care about us, you can't remain silent and in the background." Amen. According to Bradley, the coalition wants to see an increase in black executives among the ranks of top basketball decision makers. Currently, 8 of the league's 30 general managers are black, and Masai Ujiri is the only president of basketball operations. There are even fewer black head coaches, with just 8 of the 30 holding that position, including one interim head coach, Jacques Vaughn. Paul, do you think the coalition can influence these specific changes here?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I like some of the things that they mentioned with the coalition moving forward. I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure if anything could get done before, you know, going into Orlando, but, you know, it's a start. You know, the conversation definitely has to be made. You know, they have to continue this conversation, you know, after the season is over going into next season. But this is something we've always voiced for years and years, and I'm glad, you know, the players are taking it in their own hands to form this coalition to voice their opinions, because right now is a great time for it because a lot of voices are really being heard. And so, you know, I applaud them for that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, P. I think this is that's a great idea. But I think it's time for more of the franchise guys to step up, the guys that are more powerful, the guys that could actually pick up their phone and call their team owners and have a conversation or have a meeting with them. I think they could relate a little bit more face-to-face, and they could have these conversations, these uncomfortable conversations, where the owners could see where they're coming from, and then they could deliver the message to the owners, because we all know that owners around the NBA, the NFL, whatever, they have relationships in the political world. So let's hear your players out. That's a great idea. Hey, let's call these owners out. Let's sit them down. Let's talk with them. Let's let them hear our voices and hear where we're coming from. And hopefully the owners are taking consideration and go out and reach to the other people that they know of higher power.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Perk, because here you are as star players. You have personal relationships with, frankly, some of the richest people in America. I want you guys to look at this graphic here. These are just the top 15, right, of the 30 NBA club owners. They have a combined worth of over $120 billion. Woo! Steve Ballmer up there, more than $50 billion with a B, dollars in personal wealth. That kind of money, it buys a lot of influence, right? It can fund entire programs. In some cases, maybe players should be having sit-downs face-to-face with owners, and they need to be talking to them about not funding programs and candidates that work against issues that are important to the black community. And yes, when you have, as you say, Perk, those star players who have the relationships with the owners sitting across the table and saying, dude, you got to stop putting your money here because it is hurting us. You got to start putting your money here because it is helping us. That can make a difference with guys who make a difference because of the amount of money they have. We all know how America works. So
absolutely.
I am very interested to see how this pans out. I like that they included sponsors. I like that they included funding black-owned businesses more. I really hope that this coalition starts to take hold with all of these specific demands. And I know that the NBA is listening, guys. All right, coming up.
Well, right, yes.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Rachel, one thing I do want to share with everyone is, and I'm not being a homer here, but Whit Grosbeck and Steve Pagliuca has done a great job of late of listening to their players like Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, and they're being involved right now. They have been having team meetings about ways that they can help out. So I just wanted to say, hey, thank you to the Celtics owners. They're starting to step forward. And by the way, I don't know if people realize this, but a minority owner of the Celtics donated $25 million last year to an African-American cause. No, about 10 years ago. So the Celtics are taking major strides right now in trying to help in the African-American community and with civil rights and social justice.
Absolutely. We need more of that, more of that, more of that. All right, coming up, speaking of the Celtics, guys, this is the anniversary of Paul and Kurt's Celtics team winning their last NBA title. We're going to find out the backstory on all the title run issues, the rift between Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo. Stick around. We're going to spill the tea.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Coming up next, 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable and around the horn. That's followed by a 2-hour sports center at 5 p.m. Eastern. And now, guys, I'd like you to travel back in time with me. Yes, 12 years ago today, the NBA Finals finale between the L.A. Lakers and the Boston Celtics.
The latest edition of the NBA's most storied rivalry has now reached a game six. Here's a pretty play from Pierce. Blocked by Perkins. Something's blowing this one open. Ray Allen, another three. Knocks it down. Garnett inside. Backs it in. What a play from Kevin Garnett.
Mama, there goes that man.
Batter number 17, soon to be raised to the Raptors.
Some place, somewhere, Red is lighting up a cigar. The 2008 NBA champion, your Boston Celtics.
It is impossible!
Oh, man, I got chills. That Red Auerbach line is incredible. That Kevin Garnett line is incredible. The two of you look so young, I can't stand it. All right, I am back with the 2008 Finals MVP, Paul Pierce, fellow NBA champ Kendrick Perkins from that great Celtics team. Paul, what was going through your mind? Because especially for you, you win Finals MVP by beating your hometown Lakers, the team you grew up rooting for, out-dueling Kobe Bryant.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, Rach. I was on top of the world right there. I mean, to beat the Lakers, to wait so long just to have the opportunity. I mean, just to be able to be around other great players. You know, in the preseason, we were projected to win it. We were on Sports Illustrated, ESPN Magazine. Just to have that opportunity, that's all I ever asked for in my career. You know, when you see all these other great players team up with other great players and have a shot at being a contender, you know, the first year we become a contender with the players that we bring in, and we win it that year, it was like a dream come true. And to do it against the Lakers and Kobe Bryant, what more can you ask for against a team I grew up watching, going into the forum, watching Laker games, watching this rivalry, the rivalry that got me into basketball. It was like storybook for me. It was amazing. Mm.
Hey, P, Rachel, listen. It was the best moment in my sports life, okay, as a player. When I think about what we went through, I think about, you know, all the game sevens we had to overcome and just – the one thing that sticks out is the parade. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
The parade.
I've never seen anything like it.
Hey, listen, Rachel, on the duck boat tour, on the duck boat, millions of people on top of buildings, on top of top lights. I'm drinking Miller Lights and smoking cigars. Hey, Rachel, Rachel Paul, I took my whole playoff check and went bought me a Bentley. I was on top of the world. You couldn't tell me I wasn't. You couldn't tell me I wasn't the best center in the league at that time, and nobody could tell me nothing. That was a summer and an off season I would never forget in my life.
I love it, Perk. Well, we all know how tight most of you guys still are to this day. The two of you talk all the time. Paul, you and Kevin Garnett send your kids to school together. The exception, of course, is Ray Allen. Perk, you told Sirius NBA Radio that the beginning of the beef between Ray and Rajon Rondo stemmed from a rumor about after you guys had already chipped up, the Celtics were going to pursue a trade for CP3. Can you tell us the story and how that rumor about Chris Paul soured Doe's relationship with Ray?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, Rachel, at the time Chris Paul was on the trading block, he had wanted out of New Orleans. And, of course, the caliber player, he was a MVP-type player. You have to entertain it. But us as a whole in the family, our starting five that never lost a playoff series when healthy, we figured, hey, we got more than enough. We know each other tendencies. But Ray was one of the people that entertained it. And it got back to Rondo. And we had the way our locker room was set up, if we had a problem with one another, we hashed it out. So we made them talk it out. But I think since that situation in particular, Ray and Rondo never really, really, really seen eye to eye after that.
Well, we know that there's Chris Paul and Ray Rondo beef, Rajon Rondo beef. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Paul, knowing what you know now, would you have supported a Chris Paul for Rondo trade in the moment, or would you have ridden with Rondo no matter what?
No, we had already won a championship with Rondo, and he had tremendous upside. He was only getting better. I know Chris Paul was an MVP caliber player at the time and probably one of the top two or three point guards in the NBA, but when nothing you could take away from having great chemistry with one another, not only on the court but off the court. And Rondo gave us great chemistry. He was a great friend off the court, and those type of pieces
you can't just dangle around.
And I think a lot of it stemmed, you know, Perk said it was from a trade rumor with Chris Paul. You know, there was times I remember when Ray would go to Doc and thought, you know, Rondo was isolating him out of the offense, like passed to him. And I think, you know, once that got back to Rondo, instead of kind of going directly to Rondo, like Perk said, you know, on some of the issues he had with him, you know, it gave him sort of a wedge. And then from that point, you know, they just started, you know, growing farther and farther apart. And, you know, in some ways it hurt our team because we had such great chemistry. And, you know, you hate to see those type of things happen, especially when you can just talk eye to eye and man to man.
You could talk eye to eye. You could box it out. Paul, were you the one who once brought boxing gloves to practice to try to settle it?
You know what? It was at a point after our championship run. I think this was maybe 3 years down the line. And I remember I brought some gloves and I said, you guys got to hash it out with whoever.
You remember that, Pete?
I got the gloves and I went up against Patrick O'Brien. Tony Allen went against Big Baby and Rondo went against Ray. And I'll tell you one thing, the punches they were throwing at each other weren't friendly.
Hey, we had to break it up. Hey, Rachel, that's how we did it. We talked it out and we boxed it out. That's what it was.
Well, got you a championship first. It got you to another NBA Finals, a great, great seven-game series in itself. And we love celebrating you guys today. Lots of information for the NBA. We will have more in tomorrow's show. And if we play cards, guys, we'll throw out the deck at the end of it. See you tomorrow.
All right.